What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready. All right, so I do this a lot, but this time I especially mean it. I know I apologize for what I'm about to say in advance a lot, but this time I want to be as sincere as possible. Like, I really do apologize for what I'm about to say in advance because I.
I'm sorry, I was trying to hold it in. All right, go ahead.
He's looking at the footage, he's saying how fat I look. But anyway, now, these are probably conversations I should have had with family members, but that's just not me. And that's kind of why I created this platform, to have a safe space for me to be able to get things off my chest and kind of work through my thoughts and hopefully, you know, help some people at the same time. So this episode, I know, is going to hurt some people, and again, I sincerely apologize. My intent is not to hurt you, even though I know that is what going to be the end effect of my actions. But this was the only way I could probably process these things. So, all right.
It's no malice. Just closure and processing.
This is just my process. And I apologize for doing it in a public forum, but no other way I could do it. Oh, and introducing herself for this episode is our co-host, Elise Camille. Hey, Sweet Pea. Hey, say hi.
Am I off right here?
I'll mute you. You can't hear you. Oh, shit. There you go.
Testing. All right, there I go.
My bad.
Am I on this show?
I got people turned off. I apologize for that one, Rich. Let me get all my apologies
out
of the way.
It's too late to apologize.
No.
All right. But with all that said, this is the What Is TWS podcast. We are at episode 45. Today, as always, I am J. Dot Flan. I got my brother Rich Nerd with me.
You already know. Back for another one.
I got my little mini me,
Guest host.
All right. You want some applesauce? We're doing applesauce right now. Today, no what you're sipping, no bars. I'm not even going to do a rant.
Yeah, we just going right into this.
This is for me a serious topic, so we're gonna go right into this. I'm gonna let Rich go ahead and handle some business real quick while I do this applesauce thing over here.
Yeah, while Jay Money's handling his fatherly duties. No, I just wanted to give do our shout outs. We wanted to get everything out in the beginning so we can ramble on. So once again, like as always, TT Charities. You know, brother TT out here doing his thing. Doing it for big reasons. So,
Tavares Taylor, not
brother TT,
not Tessa Thompson.
Oh shit,
that's the sister TT.
Quick sidebar: did you see the Thor Ragnarok trailer?
I did.
Tessa Thompson is in the Thor Ragnarok trailer. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I don't even mess with those movies like that, but
TT looking good in the Thor Ragnarok trailer.
They just sold a ticket.
That's all I wanted to say. But yeah, shout out to Tavares Taylor and TT Charities. You know, always out here doing good for the community. Giving back, so it's a great cause. As we always say, if you can't donate any money, just try to donate some time, donate a retweet, pass along the message. You know, anything counts. I'm also wanting to give a shout out to our boy Alex. You know, we always talk about starting your own businesses, and this brother did exactly that. Started his own hair supply business, Celebrity Hair Corp. You know, as they say at Celebrity Hair Corp. Ladies, enhance your own natural beauty with Celebrity Hair Corp. Human hair extensions, and let us make you look like the star you are. Let your soul glow. Grow. Let your soul grow. And their claim to fame, pay no tax and free express shipping. So that's CelebrityHairCorp.com. So big shout out to Alex doing big things. You know, now we got that out the way. Like Jared said, we got a big topic, and it kind of hits home for both of us. And Jared actually reminded me of this one, because I've gone through similar things and throughout my life. So we kind of once again, you know, it's that common background, that East Coast background. Just so many similarities, so many similarities.
Hey, East Coast, but, black.
Both wearing glasses with the tattoos on the forearm. We could actually probably get away with actually being brothers.
Hey, me and Reg have switched IDs a couple of times.
Man, it works.
And it works. And Ray, you know, our heights ain't the same, but it's
working. That's that.
That's that they wasn't looking close enough.
Still got people calling me Jared at work, so.
Hey, I'm unforgettable.
But it is what it is. So with that said, we're going to go right into this episode.
Can I sit you down, sweetie?
This episode is all about families and moreover, split families and extended families and I guess addition effects to families and the long-term side effects of, you know, those things on children or on young men and women. If gone, I guess, unrectified, you know, the stresses that can cause and, you know, everything that comes with that. So
I want to start out by saying I lost my my great-grandmother. Late last week. Lost my my great-grandmother. And a woman that I've only known as Nana. Found out recently her actual name is Mary Russell. So rest in paradise, Mary Russell, Nana. But, you know, what it made me think about is, so I got the news from my my half-sister. And I don't even, you know, like that term. I mean, but by half-sister, I mean...
if you got to get technical.
My sister that's my mother's child, but not my father's child. But not my mother's child. So
here comes the extended split
family. And I get in trouble. I got a lot of friends because, and this is where the hurt is gonna come in. Like I tell people all the time, like when people ask me how my sister is doing, I don't think which one. So you know, to get real personal, I have that I'm aware of. I guess four sisters. Three sisters. See how I'm confused already? Like,
it's the verbiage.
You know, so I grew up with one, the sister that is, you know, my mother's child. And then my father has, that's how it is for. Yeah. So my father has three other daughters that are my sisters. And so, just trying to explain it all is too much. But one of my half-sisters let me know that Nana passed, and I appreciate her reaching out to me and letting me know. The hard thing about it was I didn't know how to react. Like I didn't know what to say. I didn't know, because in my mind, for her, you know, she just lost a great grandparent, you know, and from what I know of that side of the family, they were probably close. That's somebody they would have seen on a regular basis, you know. Spent time with, been around growing up. So, you know, I knew for her, she just lost somebody close to her. And she was telling me, because I also lost a family member. But for me...
Technically.
I mean, you know, she is my father's mother. She is my great-grandmother, you know, one way or another.
Any way you slice it, yeah.
But I don't have the attachment, you know. And this is no diss on Nana, because I can only remember meeting her like twice in my life. Now, it's very likely I'd met her more times than that, but I can only really remember twice. And one of them is not a good memory, and it had nothing to do with her, more to do with stuff with my dad. But so I don't have, you know, when I heard the Nana pass, it was like, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear it, you know, but I'm not feeling what you're feeling. And I didn't even know how to, you know, how to respond to or comfort my sister when she gave me the news. And then she and I aren't even that close. So it just exposed to me how cold and sort of shut off I have become to like family matters in that sense. And now I have a daughter, and that's her family. And I'm either going to rob her of the chance to know and understand everything about where she comes from, or I'm going to have to build bridges and create relationships with people I don't have one with. And it's something I'm torn about. I don't want to do it. I have no motivation. I have no inclination. There's nothing in me that says I want to go develop these, you know, these better relationships.
Yeah, and that stuff is tough. It's on one hand, you know, you don't want her to, I guess, develop the malice or the hatred that's grown and the contempt from you. You know, you'd want your child to develop their own opinions,
their own malice
on something. Exactly. You know, and it might be warranted, but that's something that she should find out for herself. But at the same time, because you're not there, you don't necessarily know how they feel towards you. So in not knowing them as a whole, because you're so disconnected, you know, how do you trust your child with those people? Therefore, you would always have to be there. And you would always have that in your heart. So therefore,
it's not even that with me. So to get deeper, because this is be the most personal. I think I've said a lot of personal shit. Damn it, my daughter's in the room. I'm sorry, Elise. I think I've said a lot of personal stuff on the show, and but this will probably be by far my most personal show. So the issue, the reason why there's such a gap between the size of the family is. And I always seem to end up in a position in my family where I'm the bridge, where there are two sides that don't really communicate, and people find a way to communicate to each other through me. And it's usually because of my attitude. Like I don't care enough about anything, you know, to usually get extremely upset or, you know, whatever. So I can deal with people because I don't give a fuck. You know, damn it, Elise, get out the room. So I don't have a malice or a contempt or a hatred for anybody on that side of the family. I'm 35 years old, and I've grown for most of those 35 years without a lot of involvement from my dad. I know who my dad is. I'm not one of those kids who doesn't know who his father is, never met his father. I know who my father is. I've met my father. I've spent time with my father. In middle school, one of my punishments was getting kicked out the house and being forced to live with my father. So I don't want to make it seem at all like my father's this missing character. I know exactly who he is, but we do not have consistent and ongoing communication. And throughout the years of getting to know my dad, honestly, you know, and I probably never said this to him, he's not a person that I enjoy. I look forward to being around.
Yeah.
He's not a person that I look forward to talking to. I think a lot of times if I know I have to communicate with my dad, I immediately put a guard up. What is he trying to do? What does he want from me? What is he going to say? You know, my father was the kind of person that blamed us for not knowing him.
Got it.
You know, it was our job. We knew where he lived. We should have been calling him, or we knew what his number was. We should have been reaching out and finding him instead of him trying to be involved with his children. You know, and I guess like the malice in that sense is only growing now that I have a daughter, and I'm looking at what it's like to have a child and not being able to fathom knowing where that child is, knowing how to get to that child, knowing how to see that child, and not doing it.
Yeah, it's something, and I feel the same way. I know exactly who my father is, but he wasn't exactly there in my sister and I's life. And basically, same backstory, you already know. And so growing up without him, we at one point just stopped reaching out because you get tired of the empty promises. And then you get to the point where it's like, well, I'm going to cut this off because I'm in control of my fate now. So I don't have to rely on what you telling me, I can provide this for myself, even when it came to not necessarily monetary and you know, extravagant or frivolous things.
Yeah.
But it's just as a youth, you know, you're looking forward to that actual time.
Yeah.
No, you're going to spend time with me. You're going to have an activity with me, and you're going to do things that a parent is supposed to do. After a while, you cut that off. So I agree. Like that malice slowly begins to grow, and that contempt begins to grow.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, you learn to live with it, and you learn not necessarily to hate, but rather to just be without and become. Like, I'm totally indifferent. Like it is what it is until that person comes around and all of that stuff bubbles up and it comes to the surface.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, I don't want myself to feel this way. So I don't like how I feel when you're around me. So you cut it off you just stay away. I can totally see where that's coming from. And to your point, going through everything that Renee and I went through with Ryan, I like immediately love of my life. So I've never gotten how you can be okay with not being in your child's life. Yeah. There's no excuse. Good excuse. And you can't blame the child for that. You're
the adult.
You're the adult. You have to take ownership for that. And if you want your child to be the person who's going to look after you and come searching out for you, where are they going to learn the skill to search for you if it's not coming from the parent? Your absence. So therefore, your absence is creating their absence. It's a circle.
Yeah. So, so my not wanting to be involved with certain members of the family or not creating relationships with certain members of the family is not because I don't want to have anything to do with them. It's because I don't think he understands how I feel about his. I wanted a dad, as a child, I wanted a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain age, when you've been wanting something all your life and it's been right there and it just refuses to be involved with you, like you say, you cut your losses. You're like, I'm 20 something years old. I've learned to live without a dad. Why do I still want one?
Exactly.
Like, I'm good. Like I don't know what it's like, Like, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't even feel like I'm missing something because I don't know what to miss.
Exactly.
I never had it. So I'm just good at this point, mm-hmm.
Didn't Drake have a line like that? Like, I've been down for so long.
He probably did. All Drake songs is depressing. Yeah, yeah. They about relationships and something that ain't go right. So it's like, and I don't think my sisters grew up with him as a father. So the way they see him and the way I see him are completely different.
Exactly.
And I don't want to have that conversation.
Like, because you will never edge it. Just like this whole thing we've been going with politics. You're always going to have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
There's not going to ever be a common baseline. Your view on a subject matter is totally different. It's an alternate fact. What you're going through, what you had to go through is 100% real. What their life was 100% real. And it's an alternate fact compared to what your universe is. You're never going to be able to have a good conversation. And it's always going to be like, well, you should forgive him. That's not what I'm here for.
Right. And then, it's just like I talk about the United States and racism. Like, the healing process can begin when the United States admits, the day I still don't think my father understands, why I feel the way I do, or that I even should feel this way, like that I'm justified in looking at him the way I look at him. I don't think. He's never acted remorseful. He's never acted as if he even acknowledges that he did something wrong. And it's very hard to forgive somebody who doesn't even acknowledge
that
they wronged you. So at this point, like you said, it's just I don't need an apology anymore. I don't need anything from you. What I would prefer is distance.
Exactly.
I'm good where I am. But now I'm faced with the idea of I have to erase that distance for the sake of my child. And now I'm going to have to build relationships with people that I've avoided building relationships with my entire life. I'm probably going to have these conversations. I'm going to have to hope. And the thing about forgiveness is you do have to forgive somebody whether or not they ask for it or not.
Yeah.
And it's like now I'm going to become, I got to come right up, face to face with that. Like, I'm going to have to find a way to forgive him and move on. So that he can have, so my daughter can have access to him, and he can have access to my daughter, for I guess her well-being, And if one day, because my mother, the one thing, not the one thing, but one of the things I have to commend my mother for is she never spoke ill of my father. She never said anything bad about my dad. Her thing was always, I'll let you develop your own.
And then this goes back to what I was saying earlier: the child, she should always be able to develop her own thought process and her own opinion on it. Shouldn't be based off of what you guys think. But that's going to be a tough one because not only is it, if you're not in that mind space and it's not something that you actively want to pursue, it's almost as, well, on one hand, you're being forced to do something that you don't want to do. And so how do you even go about swallowing that pill? Like, how do you face that? How do you deal with that? And then if it's not actively something that you're 100% on and that you necessarily want to do, now you have to force yourself to try to do it. What happens when you get opposition from the other party? Or what happens when they're less than remorseful or forthcoming or anything, and they're becoming
What happens when he says the bullshit that I know he's exactly. going to say? Earmuffs.
And then now you still have to swallow yet an even bigger pill,
right.
Figuratively, not literally.
And still be the bigger person.
It's hard. Especially being an adult, especially being a grown-ass man, and especially being a parent, because how you handle this situation will echo throughout Elise's life on both parts. Yeah. You know, it's like, yes, you want to be the bigger person, but how much of your, it's for her sake, but then how much of yourself and what you want and need do you have to sacrifice and give up, especially when it comes to your mental and emotional well-being?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's a fine line there.
And I don't think people at all recognize the damage that's done in these situations. It hurt me because my sister's never done anything wrong to me. My sister there's no reason for my sister to be reaching out to me to tell me my great grandmother died and for me not to be able to embrace her and say, I'm sorry. I honestly had no idea what to say. I felt blank. I was calling my mother, like, you know, I needed somebody to give me a script, how to feel.
Buffer and a go-between,
Tell me how to feel right now, because I feel nothing. And it hurts me that I feel nothing. That here is someone who just lost somebody important to them that should probably also be important to me. I don't feel any loss, and two, don't feel any compassion toward the person who just lost something. And now I feel like something's wrong with me, you know, but this is just the situation that I was brought up in, you know, and these are defense mechanisms, and these are things I've had to build up to survive and to be okay.
For decades, for years now.
Yeah.
And going back to what you said, I feel like when people have their indiscretions and they go out and do what they're doing, I don't think they think about the long-term cause and effect of it. And like we were talking about this before, and I told you that my father has another daughter, and she used to come over for holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, things like that. And my aunts and cousins and everybody would be like, "Oh, Richie, your sister's here." And I'm like, "Who?" Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the moment, I always felt like a jerk and an a-hole. But at the same time, it's like, you know what I mean? How should I be expected to feel? You know, this man was never there for us. He didn't take care of my sister and I. Absolutely ran out. My grandmother had to bear the load, raise all of her grown children, who are now grown adults who have their own kids, and then go back and redo it all over again. So I to have him with the in and out and all of his issues, like, I just developed a callous attitude towards him and nothing but malice for you to come over and now say, "Here's my daughter." If you couldn't take care of your kids and you left, how could you now have another child and then bring that child around and I'm supposed to be okay with it?
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. And instantly as a child and as a youth and of this person, no matter what age you are, immediately your mind goes to, how could you not love me enough to stay, but you love them enough to be there?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make any sense.
And I don't think, you know, my sisters, like, you know, understand. And it's not their fault, because I've never said it to them.
Yeah.
But when I'm on Facebook and I got to see when Father's Day comes around, I see their post about my dad and their pictures about my dad and on his birthday. You know what? You know, I didn't know when my father's birthday was until a few years. If you ask me right now, I don't know. I know someone has told me. I'd have to ask my mother to tell me again. I don't know his middle name. I don't know his birthday. I get questions on security forms and stuff about my dad all the time that I can't answer, because I just don't know. And at this point, I don't care. Like, you know, like, I've made it this far. I have a wife. I have a daughter. Yeah. I have a job. I didn't go to jail. I'm alive.
Mm-hmm. No F's
like,
given.
You know, like, I survived the whole fatherless or father mm-hmm. not around thing. Yeah, I'm good. Like, what is the purpose of...
You looked the stereotype in the face. Yeah.
What's the purpose of a dad at 35?
Waved your fish, you smashed it, and you're doing good. And I it's one of those things, it's like, I can understand, like, sometimes I wish, like, I was able to have a father, but then sometimes it's like, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. You look at other people's relationship. I look at Renee's relationship with her parents, and
that's cool.
Yeah, they had a great relationship, and a part of me wishes that I had parents that were there to take care of me and help raise me, but at the same time, I feel like the adversity that I had to go through made me the person that I am. I probably would not be striving and grinding and working as hard as I am and having as much ambition as I do and probably not sitting here on this radio show if it hadn't been for the adversity that I've been through, if it wasn't for the adversity that you went through to sort of push you into wanting to do more and wanting to have more, wanting to own your own and wanting to absolutely be that better person for Elise. That absolutely plays a part in it. But now that I am where I am and now that you are where you are, you know, I'm good. I have a setup the way I like it. I don't need the outside interference. I don't need to look back. I need to continue to look forward and grow and do what's best for my job.
I have no inclination. There's nothing driving me. Like, at 35, what do I need a father for? You know, I've all of the needing a father times have passed. Yeah. I'm 35 years old. You know, some people I know at 35 have lost their fathers. Like, you know, you can make it from 35 beyond without mm-hmm. a dad. Like, you know, it's like, what do I need? And if I thought, like, right now, to me, the relationship between my dad and I should be two guys that know each other.
Yeah.
But knowing my father, he's going to want to come around and be looked at as a father.
Yeah.
He's
going to want to
be respected and talk to and want me to, you know, to act like a son would act around his father. And to me, you are just
earned.
Yeah. To me, you are just another man I know. Yeah. We're two men in a room, and if you can, mm-hmm. if you can approach me that way, and we can talk like just two men in the room. Then there's possibly, you know, some opportunity there. But I don't, you know, it's not even worth it to me to risk it. It's not even worth it for me to walk into a room and have him, you know, put on that mm-hmm. fatherly air, which will piss me off. And then, you know, have to, like you said, swallow that pill, you know, for the sake of Elise. But I got to do these things for my daughter. But, you know, to backtrack on what you were saying before, like... there was a long time where I was afraid of having children because that was the thought in my head. Like, what kind of dad am I going to be? I never saw what a dad is supposed to be like. I never saw what a husband is supposed to be like.
If that was the prototype, it's like, I want to remove myself from
it. Am I going to make those same? Yeah. And then somebody once said to me, and it made a lot of sense, and it is kind of, you know, the mindset I've taken into this is that I may not know what to do.
You know what not to
but
do.
But I know exactly what not to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I know exactly what to avoid. And if I can at least avoid those things, I've done some good, you know.
You're already on a better path.
And then luckily for me, you know, father wasn't around, but my mother had a lot of brothers. I had a lot of uncles. I had people that stepped in and even, you know, piece by piece took that role, you know. If one person was this piece and one person was that piece, I had enough males around me to step in and kind of fill that role.
To see the positivity.
Yeah. So I don't feel like I missed out on anything, but now I have this whole subsection of my family that I don't have a connection to, which therefore my daughter doesn't have a connection to, and that's a problem. And now, At 35, I'm going to have to figure out a way to fix that problem. And it's not something that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think something you touched on, too, is something that I'm happy about. You said if you're able to walk into a room and you're just like another guy. And, you know, we've had our ups and downs. I think at one point I wrote my father a letter. I've always been heavy into the poetry. I've always been into the songwriting, the lyrics and stuff like that. So I think I wrote him something one time. And read it to him. That really hit home. When I was on my blog heavy, I wrote something out, and just it was very cathartic for me, and it was a great release. And I think him and I are at the point where he doesn't approach me as a father. I think we got to the point where he knows exactly what it is, and when he sees me, it's like, hey, Rich, Yeah. Hey, Rich, you know, because I'm his namesake. And, you know, we call it a day. And I used to get mad at one point that he would just treat me, you know, like another nigga in the street. But now I'm kind of grateful and happy that it's evolved to where I'm just another guy because, you know, I don't have to fake the niceties and the pleasantries. Right. And, oh, you know, I don't have to, you know, feel like I'm forced to succumb to that feeling of respecting my elder and this is my father and all of that stuff.
Right.
You're a guy. I'm a guy. How you doing? Here's a beer. Cool. Later.
All right.
Catch you next time.
Like I tell you, like this past Father's Day, like Father's Day, I don't think about Father's Day because I've never mm-hmm. had a reason to celebrate Father's Day. There's never been a big deal. So Father's Day come, it's not even a like.
It's not yeah, even it's a, like it's like mental shutdown. You automatically skip over.
It's another day, and so I had no plans on doing nothing. Didn't think about it. Wasn't you know, and then you know halfway through the day, you know he sends me a text to say Happy Father's Day to me, and I'm like fuck, you know.
It's like, do you now, feel like forced to have right. to say it in response?
Like before, I wasn't saying it, but you know, but now it's like clearly this is going to be. If I don't respond and say it now, then it's clear that I'm like, I'm purposefully not acknowledging mm-hmm. you on Father's Day, and I didn't. It the intent was not for it to be malicious. The intent was there was no intent. It is what it is. Like this is another day for me. I don't really care. And it's like now once he sent me the message, it's like now he's making my inaction malicious. So now I have to say something more. It seems like I'm just being an asshole for the sake of being. I'm sorry, Elise. I swear to God. If you go to daycare and stay and stuff, it's gonna be a problem. she's in that parrot phase. Like she's repeating
soaking
everything.
It all up.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. This this whole, you know, losing Nana, and it's like, how many people even had their great-grandparents alive? And I had a great-grandparent and just, you know, really had no relationship, you know, with her. And it's no fault to her. From what I understand from my mom, Nana was, you know, a sweet, nice lady, you know, because I have issues with my dad and my grandmother. I'm gonna tell this story because... I think I need to get this off my chest publicly. One of the reasons why, because I don't think maybe my sisters know that this happened. I don't think a lot of people know that this happened, and this may contribute to the fact that I kind of separate myself and feel a certain level of anger towards certain people. But when I was trying to go to college, I was graduating high school. I was not a good student in terms of grades. But I was an excellent test taker. And, you know, when you take the SATs, they have you list, like, on the SATs, you can list, like, four colleges or something that you want your scores sent to, you know. So you can put, like, four colleges that you want your scores sent to. Other schools will probably, you know, see your scores at some point. Yeah. But you can say, I want them sent to these directly. Four schools. Mm-hmm. So to backtrack, I don't know what the statute of limitations is, but I lived in Maryland and went to DC public schools my whole life. And so in order to go to DC public schools, I had to use a DC address. And so the address, hold on. Sweet Pea, you okay? You okay? So the address that we used was my grandmother's address. So filling out the SATs and everything, I had to put my grandmother being my father's mother. So I put her information on the SATs, and I did really pretty well. I think I got a 1390 on the SATs, and at the time, the president of FAMU had come to another school in DC and said any student that scored over 1,000, he'd give a full scholarship to. So I wrote a letter to the president of FAMU. I had my scores sent to the four schools that I wanted, and I sat back and I was like, you know. Hopefully, you know, I'll get some mail. I'll get, you know, somebody to say something to me. And I never got one single piece of mail from a school. And, I mean, it was a bad time for me emotionally. I couldn't believe that, you know, like that I had fucked up this bad that, like, no school, like, you know, reached out at all. Like, if 1,000 was good and I almost hit a 1,400, like, how could I? Hold on. Why is she testing? She's testing it too. She know she about to hit that thing. It's like, how could I not get any attention, you know, at this score? Like, what did I do wrong? And it wasn't until years later, like after I had done the thing in Marquette and had to come back home. And that's another story about things that people didn't do. I'll tell that story too. But it wasn't until years later that I realized that mail was all going to my grandmother's house.
Never reached out, never said nothing.
I'm pretty sure she was throwing it away. I'm pretty sure.
And see, stuff like that builds malice. Because it's like, how different could my life have been?
How different could my life have been?
That's crazy.
I was like, man, I was so mad at FAMU. I was like, he couldn't even write me back. Like, I couldn't even get a response from the school. Like, you came to my city and said if somebody did 1,000, you give them a full ride. I'm telling you, you know, I didn't go to that school, but I'm from that city, and I got a 1390, and anything you could do for me would help. And I ain't even get a response. I probably did. Never knew about it. And to take it a step further with my mail going to her house, I did end up going to Marquette and had to sign for grant. You know, I was 17 going to college. And so I had grants and stuff. Some promissory notes were coming home. And I left school for Christmas break, tried to come back to school after Christmas break to register for the next semester. And I couldn't because I owed the school what, however many thousand dollars, because none of those promissory notes had been signed for any of my loans. And I couldn't sign for myself. And that stuff, again, was mailed up going to my grandmother's house. So when people look at me like, you know, you don't talk to them, you don't say anything to them. I was a child. I was 17 years old.
I have a reason.
You know, depending on people to look out for my best interest, depending on my family to look out for my best interest. And people,
damn.
You know, in my mind, it had to have been a conscious decision, yeah. You know, to do that.
Yeah, and they were probably thinking about it just the same way.
Like, he don't never call me.
Yeah,
never.
And just like, you know, it's they're your extended family. You're their extended family. You know, that's, you know, her son's indiscretion, prior indiscretion. Maybe they didn't wholeheartedly agree with the relationship. You never know what it was. But at the end of the day, that's not his current situation. They're going to wholeheartedly put forth an effort towards his current situation. Maybe his current wife or fiance, whoever it was, didn't feel good about it. They didn't want to make them feel away. So if that's who he's invested in now, that's who they're going to invest in now. And it's sad, but you had to take the hit for that. Right. And it's like looking back in hindsight, like I can understand it. I can see where it's coming from. That's not how you do a kid. That's not how you do a child.
Yeah, I was a kid. But, you know, end of the day, you know, had the things not gone the way they went, I would have never met Tammy. If I'd have never met Tammy, I'd never have Elise. I wouldn't be here in Austin. This podcast wouldn't be happening. It all happened exactly the way it was supposed to.
Shout
and
out.
I thank you, everybody who was involved. Shout out to everybody who was involved. My people.
F-ups happen for a reason.
Hey, I'm good, though. I'm good. But, yeah, you know, I wanted to do this episode because I just, I felt the need to talk it out.
Yeah. Sometimes, see, that's what it is. Sometimes you gotta just get it off your chest. You gotta let it out. Stop letting it eat at you. The more it eats at you, the more you keep it inside, hide it in a closet, the more power over you it has. So you need to have these conversations, especially with the family, whether it's going to be direct or indirect. If any of your family, extended family, listens to the episode, you know, hopefully they get it, that it's not necessarily intentional. You're doing it on purpose, but it's not necessarily intentional. It's not done with malice. It's a byproduct of what reality is.
And if you hear the episode and you want to have a conversation, I'm all for it. Like I said, you know, me being who I am, I was probably never going to initiate that conversation, and that this was the most direct I could be in terms of getting it out and talking about it. But, you know, I didn't mean to hurt anybody. Didn't mean to hurt any feelings. If you feel hurt or slighted by this, we can talk. We can have a deeper conversation. I needed to talk about it for my daughter's sake. All right, sweetie. Okay. What do you want to say?
She's
what do you
want to want to come back.
You want to say something? See, every time I get you up here, then you get quiet. Sing your ABCs. Nope.
But that was a dope episode.
ABC.
That was dope.
But let's see. Yeah, we just about out of time. I was thinking we were gonna bring up those other topics, but we could save them for a full episode. We're about at 40 minutes. I don't know where you are in terms of. Yeah, because you gotta head. You gotta get out.
Yeah, as long as I'm online by like 7:45, gotta boogie through this traffic. Left work people to come meet up with my brother to go to work, to go back home and get back online.
Go back
to go to work. So hey, that's IT for you. You gotta work remotely, do what you gotta do, but pays the bills.
Yeah, I'm pulling double shift right now. I'm on daddy duty and podcast host. Say something, sweetie. You right there? Mwah. Thank you. Yo, yeah, snot and everything is gross. Gross. All right, get that. All right, so okay. I want to end with one more story. I did the episode. Come on, baby. You making noise on purpose. So I did the episode 44 I did about my daughter and about the first 16 months of fatherhood. And it wasn't until today that I thought of the perfect anecdote to sum up the first 16 months of fatherhood. So my daughter Elise loves books. And she has books all around the house. And in fact, she doesn't know the word book. She only knows the word books. Mm-hmm. So she'll run around the house, find a book, and bring it to you. Books, 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 you know, handing you the book. If you don't pay attention to her, she'll grab your hand. She'll put the book in your hand.
Are you going to read this?
Like, you're going to read this. And then she'll, you know, reach up, like, you know, pick me up. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you're supposed to pick her up, put her on your lap, read the book. And so it's the cutest, most heartwarming thing, you know, when your daughter runs over to you, hands you a book. And, you know, ask to be picked up so you can, so she can sit on daddy's lap and read a book. But do you know the name of the book she asked me to read the most?
What's the book?
The book is called I Love You, Mommy. And that's the first 16 months
Shots
of fatherhood.
Fired.
That is the first 16 months of fatherhood, if anybody wanted to know.
I Love You, Mommy. That's a good one. It's true.
All right. But on that note, I guess we'll close it out. I appreciate y'all listening. I feel a little better. I do hope maybe some of my family members got a chance to hear this. And then I have to bridge this gap for Elise's sake. And like I said, no malice toward a lot of people. You know, I have feelings about my dad. And I don't know if that'll ever get worked out. But I should at least be able to have meaningful relationships with other people, regardless of that. So I think I worked it out with myself and I understand it a little better now. Appreciate you, Rich, for listening, and
you already know,
and going back and forth with me. But yeah, love you guys for listening. And TWS has a lot more content coming. I think we're trying to get the YouTube channels going now. We're doing some spinoff shows.
If you see the camera moving, that's Elise.
Yeah, Elise is over there messing with the camera. Baby, come back. Come back. Come here. Come here. Come here. Thank you. Big girl. So, now you want to talk. So, I know Evening with the Flans is going to start to be a regular thing. We're going to try to do that maybe once, twice a month. And we got plenty of others that we want to spin off.
Yeah, definitely
this.
Got a lot of ideas coming up. You will see them popping up pretty soon. With that being said, peace.
All right, say peace, say bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No, he's just not going to say it. All right, peace out.
Peace.
What is TWS? Would also like to say goodbye to another great that we lost today, Charlie Murphy. He was definitely a person that we took inspiration from when coming up with the idea for this show. You will be missed. Thank you for all the laughs. Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy.